days. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me." And he cried, and she cried, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled, and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her, until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." And it came to pass, master heard the words of his wife, which spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Deacon Limwell. We read verses Genesis 39, verses 1 through 20. I want to speak from a subject entitled, Stay in Faith. stay in faith. Stay in faith. Amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you, God, again for this opportunity to come into the house of the Lord, to present the word of God to the people of God for a time such as this. Lord, we ask, God, that you will bless, O God, the words that are spoken. And Lord, we pray, God, that, Lord, that it will find a lodging place within the hearts and minds of your people. God, I ask that you will hide me behind your cross, that I may be able to speak these words of encouragement and inspiration. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stay in faith. In our text, we find so many affirmations of God's love and favor towards Joseph. It encourages us as the people of God that we ought to have the same attitude as Joseph had when he was faced with opposition. The Bible declares that Joseph was cast into the pit. His brothers were about to kill him. And they came along and they decided that they would sell him and as a slave. The Bible declares that as they went down into Egypt, that they found a buyer for Joseph. His name was Potiphar. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the thing about Joseph is that Joseph had a mindset that believed God. And one of the concerns that we as the people of God sometimes is that we find ourselves not with the same type of attitude. Amen. We believe God, but we also find that we don't look at the situation the same way that Joseph looked at his situation. We begin to say to ourselves, why God? How come me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? How can I get over it? Rather than just believe God. Amen.
Amen.
So, just a little background. Joseph is the son of Jacob. And the Bible declares that it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three patriarchs of the children of Israel. And Joseph was later renamed as Israel by God. Israel had 12 sons, and the 11th son's name was Joseph. And he played a very important part in the history of the children of Israel. Now, there is no tribe named after Joseph, which is surprising. But what happened was that Joseph had two sons. Their names were Manasseh and Ephraim. And both those sons became tribes. And so he did have a part. His name was a part of the tribe, but not his name, but his son's two names. Ephraim, who became one of the influential tribes in the children of Israel, amen, had more men than most of the other tribes. Manasseh was a smaller tribe. And so he had two sons. But we want to get back to Joseph. Joseph, as you read the text, there's some very major statements that I want to pull out. I started to put together a message about staying in faith, and as I was doing so, I could not just run over these statements, and so we have to do part two another time. But today we want to just talk about these major statements that were said about Joseph and his bio, if you will. Amen.
statements that we as men and women of God should want to have said about us. Statements that we should want to emulate, amen, as people of God. The first one is being prosperous wherever you are. In verse 1 and 2 Deacon Limwa read, it says that Joseph was brought down as a slave and a servant to Egypt. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he, Joseph, the servant, was a prosperous man. Now, Moses, who God spoke through, who wrote the Pentateuch, or what we call the Torah, depending on which language you want to be use. A Pentateuch was for the Greeks, and the Torah was what the Jews read. But it's just essentially the first five books of the Bible. And it indicated that Joseph was a servant, which means that as a servant or as a slave, he owned very little of anything. In fact, everything that he had belonged to the master. And so the Bible says that here Joseph was a prosperous man. The only thing that Joseph had, amen, was the Spirit of God within him. And when we begin to understand that if Joseph is a prosperous man, and he did not own anything, what made him prosperous? Yeah. So here in verse 2, it states that he was a prosperous man. And before this was said, when we said prosperous, we always think about what? Financially good, financially sound, yeah. Perhaps even rich. Having prosperity. Having the good things in life, having the things that everybody would look and say, oh, I'd like to have that. But that could not be the case for Joseph, because Joseph was a servant. And so what does that say to us as men and women of God? It says, no matter where you find yourself in life, despite the obstacles that have been placed in your journey, causing you to live beneath your privileges. You know that you're talented. You know that you have skill. You know that you have been gifted. You know that you are intelligent. You know that you are smart. But yet, you're still living beneath your privileges. The Bible says that you are prosperous. Why are you prosperous? You're prosperous because of not the things that you have, but who you have. And that who is Jesus Christ, amen, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody ought to say amen. And so you are prosperous because of the God that is within you. Somebody say amen. So you're working a job where you're not getting paid your worth. You're still prosperous because God is working with you. Amen. I hear amens on that one. After you get paid, now this one fit for a lot of people. After you get paid, you pay your rent or your mortgage, and you pay your utilities and all the other obligations that you have. And the money that you put in your pocket is minimal, just a few dollars. But you are still prosperous because God is able to make much out of little. Can I get an amen? Amen. So being prosperous, again, is not about what you have, it's about who you have in you. If you have Jesus, then you're carrying in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just like the Ark of the Covenant. Now we know that the Ark of the Covenant was the children of Israel carried it wherever they moved to. Yes. And it was a protection for them. It was the one that opened up doors for them. If we remember, praise God, we preached about how they went across the Red Sea on dry ground, how they went across the Jordan River on dry ground, how they screamed and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, how they defeated all the people, all the nations in the promised land. And as they defeated them, everybody came back home. Nobody died. That is protection. That is blessings that the Ark of the Covenant provided. But guess what? We don't have an Ark of the Covenant any longer. What we have today is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost resides in you. So as we go to wherever we're going, we are prosperous because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, amen, is residing in us. So if we go to verse 3, we close out this thought about prospering. We should cause others to prosper as well. As the Bible declares, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. What does that mean? That means that because we walk with the Spirit of the Most High God within us, and because we are prosperous, that wherever we touch, it's blessed. Wherever we go, it's blessed. The job that you work, praise God, it's going good because of you being there. You might not think about it like that, but I do. It's good because you are there, amen. And guess what? You're connecting with other saints, and because of them being there, amen, the job is prospering. Somebody say amen. Because of you, amen, and the Spirit of God that's in you, amen, the job is prospering. Just like Joseph, amen, whatever he did, it prospered. Potiphar's house became great because of Joseph. And so, my first point is, prosper where you are. The second point is that we should be a lightning rod for God's grace. Yes. Verse 4 says that he found grace in his master's sight. Isn't that amazing? Because of the God in Joseph, they, all those around him, could see the anointing of God upon him. And guess what? When we have made up our minds that we're going to serve the Lord with all of our faculties, with our mind, our body, our soul, and our spirit, yeah, it cannot help but then see the anointing of God upon your life. You want to know why things are happening to you that don't happen to others. It's because of the anointing of God. It's because God has made it possible for you to be able to stand and declare, God, have your way with my life. I hear nobody say nothing. Huh? But when you begin to allow God to have his way in your life, the grace of God begins to fall upon you. Amen. And so when you serve God, the grace will be on you and in you. Sometimes we got to fake it. I want you to know. Sometimes we got to fake it until we make it. But you know, as we continue to serve God, God begins to work some things out on our behalf. He begins to remove things that we could not remove by ourselves. He begins to do things within us that we could not have done by ourselves. Our mindset begins to change as we walk this way with God. Oh, that's why, praise God, when you are prospering, you're prospering because you have made up in your mind that I'm serving the Lord no matter what I do. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on, I'm serving the Lord. One of the things that I just wanted to say, I'm going to have to deviate for a second, and that is that serving the Lord is not about doing right and wrong. Serving the Lord is about being more like Jesus. And as you serve Jesus more and more, guess what? We begin to find that we have the attributes of Jesus more than we have the attributes of yourself. Somebody say amen. But we're always looking at the rights and the wrongs. Oh, when you are doing the Lord's work, you do this. If you're not doing the Lord's work, you're doing that. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, it's not about what you're doing, right or wrong. It's about trying to serve the Lord the best way you can and trying to make it to the next level so that God can bless you even the more that you might be able to stand. Amen. In the midst of the counsel of those who are around you and declare that God is God. You won't have to worry about what you're not doing. You need to be worrying about what you need to be doing. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Work on having a gracious heart and gracious communication. And as you work on it, it will develop and it should become greater and better and stronger. Folks who want to be around you. Because no, you're not judging them. You're only helping them to get better. Somebody say amen. Luke 4 and 22 says this. When Jesus was in the synagogue, he spoke on his purpose, which was written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. He said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many of us, praise God, are the poor? How many of us are the brokenhearted? To preach deliverance to those captives. Amen. Some of us are held. Amen. The devil won't let us go. But guess what? God is able to deliver you. He's recovering the sight to the blind. Those who can't see, those who spiritually can't see. Amen. God is recovering the sight to the blind to set at liberty them that are bruised. There's many of us that are bruised. Many of us, praise God, that have gone through pains and aches and been hurt, praise God. But amen. God says that come to give liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. He closed the book and he sat down. Amen. And everybody was looking at him. Like, wait a minute. This is the carpenter's son. What is he talking about? He's come to do what? To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, and to recover sight to the blind? Well, we've seen some of that. Maybe he is somebody special. Well, these were wonderful words. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears.
Amen.
This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. They begin to wonder, I'm sure they did, okay, about what he just said. Joseph already had that in his heart. Joseph served Potiphar. And when he served Potiphar, I'm sure that others were looking at him and they were saying to themselves, what is Joseph doing? Wow, how is Joseph moving like that? And you know what? I believe Joseph said to himself, I ain't looking at what other people are doing. I'm making up my mind. This is what I'm going to do. I'm serving the Lord the best way I can. I'm using my gifts and my abilities. I'm using my strengths. Amen. That God will get the glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has blessed me to have this position. And you know what? I don't know what's going to happen because of it. But God knows my future. Isn't that wonderful to know, my brothers and sisters, that amen, no matter where you are and what you're doing, God can bless you and that he can bring you to a new height and a new level. Just on Friday, we were talking about the same thing. I said, oh boy, they're talking about what I'm going to be talking about. Amen. Talking about the fact that you don't know who is watching you. You don't know who's watching you. Brother Warren talked about it at length, praise God, about how God had taken him from one place to the other place and how he had spent time, praise God, doing whatever he needed to do to get ahead. He didn't know that somebody was watching him. And I want to come and tell you on today, my brothers and my sisters, that somebody is watching you. Don't take it by happenstance that you, praise God, feel like you're just the one that's the workhorse. You're the donkey. You're the one that's doing the hard labor. You're the burden bearer. Oh yeah, you might be, but you're being for a reason. Joseph was promoted to overseer over Potiphar's house because of all that I have said, his attitude, his grace, his work ethic. He was promoted to overseer. This is a true and tried method of promotion. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or from the north or from the south. It comes from God. And promotion comes, I'm sorry, from hard work. You can't get promoted and you won't last for long if you have not put the work in. Amen. So don't think that because you're working hard and because the things that you've been doing don't seem to be manifesting into dollars in your pocket. It's manifesting. You just can't see it yet. You have not come to the realization. It has not come to the forefront yet. But it will. Keep on doing what you've been doing and you will find that your promotion shall come to pass. Amen. Everything was put into Joseph's hand. Oh, the comfort of knowing that everything is in good hands. Oh, I'm a supervisor myself, and I'm so glad that I can pass something off to one of my people, and I can know that it will be taken care of. That I know that when it's finished, it shall be an excellent product. All I would need to do is to sign my name. Amen. It's a wonderful feeling of knowing, the comfort of understanding that when honesty, integrity, knowledge, and experience collides, you have an atmosphere of contentment from your supervisors. Yeah. Let me read that again. When you have the attributes of honesty, integrity, knowledge and experience, when it collides, you have an atmosphere of contentment from your supervisors. And guess what? When Potiphar made the decision to make Joseph the overseer of his house, the Lord stepped in. The Lord stepped in. And he began to make his house great. That's what I'm talking about. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, it will then go out to others and bless them. So people in your circle, people who walk with you should be blessed as well because of you. You know, if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be, amen, blessing one another. I'm blessed because of being with you, and you being blessed because you're with me. Blessings building on top of each other. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. I'm going to preach it in a minute. Praise God. Blessings times blessings equals what? Multiplied blessings. Oh, that feels good to me. When you, praise God, can walk with someone else, blessings times blessings, and you receive multiple blessings. But we got one thing we got to be concerned about, and that is we got to watch out for the haters, and we got to look for the lovers of our soul. That's my third point. For those who have an impure heart, the blessing of God upon your life causes them to be jealous and attracted to your anointing. They want to be with you because they see something. They don't know what it is. They don't quite understand what it is. All they know is that you got it, but they don't know what it is. It's the anointing of God that you have. And you know what? They want it. And if they can't get it, they start getting jealous and they start hating on you. That's what happened when Paul and Silas was walking through the city, and the young lady, amen, began to talk about who they were. And after a while, Paul just got sick of it. He turned around and he said, "Devil, come out of her." And when the demon came out, amen, she could not prophesy any longer. They got mad. Her masters got mad. And they put them in jail. They beat them up. They did all kinds of stuff. Put them in jail. Made them sit there in the bottom of the jail where it was musty, wet, damp, no windows, stinking. That's what happens when the haters are really hating on you. Because of the anointing of God on your life. And it brings out ungodly desires, and it causes, amen, a take all mindset. I can't have you, then no one else can either. I know you heard that one before. Yeah. This was Joseph's situation. The master's wife had a Jones for Joseph. Joseph was strong, muscular, and good looking. And on top of all of that, he was smart, intelligent, and a man of God. Watch out, brothers. Because a lot of us fit that build. Amen. I hear no men say amen. Amen. That sword was a weak one. I know we got some nice, tall, muscular, intelligent men of God in the house today. Amen. Amen. If you're not one, I am. And after he kept saying, "No, no, girl, no, baby, no, I can't, no, I won't, no, no, no." Amen. She finally got a scenario where it's just him and her. Just him and her in that big old house. All the men had gone out to do something else, and it was just me and you. And so she made her move, and Joseph said no once again. You know, as men and women of God, we need to have techniques to get away. We can't just utilize being able to stand and recite the word of God. We can't just utilize the fact that we say no. But you know what? Sometimes we have to break out in a run away. We got to say, "Wait a minute, this is not working. I got to turn and run to get away." Now, it behooves you to take all your clothing with you. Now, Joseph, praise God, had left his coat, and that was his downfall. Unfortunately, that was used to bring him to a place where he began to wonder, "Wow, Lord, what's going on here?" But we're going to talk about that part next week. But one of the things that we got to be looking out for is these jealous folks and these folks who are attracted to our anointing. Many times we don't know what it is that's attracting them, but you know, it's something because they keep coming back. But thanks be unto God for those that do love the Lord. Those that, amen, recognize the blessings, amen, and have a pure heart. It provokes us to do better ourselves. Am I right about it? You see somebody else doing well, guess what? I think I can do well as well. I can do better. If they can do it, I can do it. There's nothing special about them. They put their dress on the same way I do. They put their pants on the same way I do. Guess what? Just that's the fact. And that is the issue. I can do better as well. And I need to spend more time. I was watching, praise God, the Hall of Fame, Sidney Moncrief. Sidney Moncrief says, well, you know, I thank God for the brothers I played with in high school. Because, you know, they were better than me. And they made me get better. You heard a commercial, praise God, with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt says, you know, you have to find a person who will want to take you down because that person will make you better. Amen. Whatever it is that you're doing, if you're trying to work on a project, if you're trying to be a sports or an athlete, if you're trying to be an artist, amen, find that person. Become friends with them, or if you can. Because they want to take you down just like you want to be wanting to take them down. Amen. When I say take them down, I'm not talking about bam, bam, bam down. But, you know, they want to excel and be the great one. Just like we want to be. And so we have to live according to God's word. It's genuinely is the joy of witnessing another to finally get their due. That is what people of God, they celebrate one another because they thank God that they have finally made it to the top. My father, praise God, went to Atlanta on this week to celebrate a brother 40 years ago or 50 years ago, I don't know how many years ago, back in 19, what was it, 56 or was it?
65.
The first black graduate of Wake Forest University.
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. I've been saying the wrong university all this time. Georgia Tech. The first black graduate of Georgia Tech. Well, guess what? It was a long time in coming. But my dad and some of his friends decided that they was going to go down and celebrate with him. Because, you know, some of us would say, well, shoot, I should have been number one. He just got there a year earlier. Oh, I, you know what? That ain't no big deal. I ain't going down there with him. But as people of God, we ought to be celebrating one another. The Bible declares that we should do good to those, amen, that we come in contact with, but especially those who are of the household of faith. With these blessings, amen, we can provoke others to be better.
Amen.
So if we can remain prosperous, if we can be a lightning rod of grace for those around us and for ourselves. And finally, watch out and draw close to those you love and watch out for the haters, then we can stay.
Amen.
In faith.
Amen.
Be more like Joseph. The Bible does not declare a single negative thing that Joseph said. His actions represented the power of God. His movements were movements, praise God, where he said, I believe you, God. I believe that you're going to make a way for me, that you're going to turn my situation around. No matter how desperate I feel, no matter how desperate it looks, I'm believing that, God, you're going to make a way, that I'm going to reach my destiny. I'm going to move in a direction that, God, you have called me from the beginning of time. I am going to receive that which you have ordained for me.
Amen.
I'm not going back.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to give it up. Jesus died for my sins, that I might be able to live life and have life more abundantly. It's not just a phrase, but it's a way of living. That, you know, if I would just live for the Lord, I will be successful. My prosperity won't be on my balance sheet. Oh, it could be, but it don't have to be. My prosperity could be according to, as the Bible declares about our good friend Jeremiah. The Bible declares that Jeremiah was the greatest prophet of all time. He had no converts. Nobody ever came to the Lord on his watch. Nobody said, I'm going to give my life to God. But God said that he's one of the greatest prophets. It's not based on your balance sheet. It's not based on accolades. It's based on doing what God wants you to do. Don't let obstacles keep you from staying in faith. Be prosperous because you are prosperous, because God is in you.
Amen.
Stay in faith.
Amen.